The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Welcome to a Thursday, everyone. In case you missed it, that was the crowd chanting, no bell, no bell, no bell, and an explosion wiping away those chances. Not that they existed before. No, Donald Trump canceled his upcoming summit with Kim Jong-un of North Korea, first in a letter that I will read to you shortly, but then he went before the microphone.
Based on the recent statement of North Korea, I have decided to terminate the planned summit in Singapore on June 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Well, many things can happen and a great opportunity lies ahead, potentially. I believe that this is a tremendous setback for North Korea and indeed
for you,
a setback for the world.
For us.
I've spoken to General Mattis and the Joint Chiefs of Staff and our military, which is by far the most powerful anywhere in the world.
Oh, stop. You
that
know,
has been
yeah.
greatly
you,
enhanced
you have a little
recently,
dick, we know.
As you all know, is ready if necessary. Likewise, I have spoken to South Korea and Japan, and they are not only ready should foolish or reckless acts be taken by North Korea, but they are willing to shoulder much of the cost of any financial burden, any of the costs associated by the United States in operations if such an unfortunate
declare war
situation is forced upon us. Hopefully positive things will be taking place.
Yeah, hopefully.
With respect to the future of North Korea.
Yeah.
But if they don't,
it's your
we
fault.
Are more ready than we have ever been before.
And if you believe that, I've got some land
not too far
from here.
North Korea has the opportunity to end decades of poverty and oppression by following the path of denuclearization and joining the community of nations. And I hope that Kim Jong-un will ultimately do what is right, not only for himself, but perhaps most importantly, what's right for his people, who are suffering greatly and needlessly. All of the Korean people, North and South, deserve to be able to live together in harmony, prosperity, and peace.
All right. Enough of him. Enough of him. So you get the gist of it. He went on for another 2 minutes or so, and I figured that that was enough torture to inflict on you. Oh, it is a Thursday. So Howie Klein will be here today. We'll talk about what happened in the primaries on Tuesday, what we can look forward to on June 5th. We'll talk about unity and what that means to the DCCC and other electoral politics kind of things. But oh, my God. What a busy news day. So I want to get right to what's news. We'll do it live because so much has happened today. So take it away, Britt.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, our big breaking news this morning is Donald Trump calls off his summit with North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un, writing in a letter that the historic gathering will not take place June 12th in Singapore as scheduled. The letter was, I think Trump wrote the letter because it was so poorly written and filled with his blustering language. Let me share it with you. He writes, "Dear Mr. Chairman, we greatly appreciate your time, patience, and effort with respect to our recent negotiations and discussions relative to a summit long sought by both parties, which was scheduled to take place on June 12th in Singapore. We were informed that the meeting was requested by North Korea, but that to us is totally irrelevant. I was very much looking forward to being there with you." Ooh, because he likes you. "Sadly, based on the tremendous anger and open hostility displayed in your most recent statement, I feel it is inappropriate at this time to have this long-planned meeting. Therefore, please let this letter serve to represent that the Singapore summit, for the good of both parties, but to the detriment of the world, will not take place." Huh? "You talk about your nuclear capabilities, but ours are so massive and powerful that I pray to God they will never have to be used." Yeah. He continues, "I felt a wonderful dialogue was building up between you and me, and ultimately it is only that dialogue that matters. Someday I look very much forward to meeting you. In the meantime, I want to thank you for the release of the hostages who are now home with their families. That was a beautiful gesture and was very much appreciated. If you change your mind having to do with this most important summit, please do not hesitate to call me or write. The world, and North Korea in particular, has lost a great opportunity for lasting peace and great prosperity and wealth. This missed opportunity is a truly sad moment in history. Sincerely yours, Donald Trump, President of the United States of America." I got to share this with you. The Washington Post published an annotated version of it where they have their commentary on, different parts of the letter, and where he writes, "Sadly, based on the tremendous anger and open hostility displayed in your most recent statement, I feel it is inappropriate at this time to have this long-planned meeting." Here's what the Washington Post writes. This is the main paragraph, the nut graph, as we say in journalism, of this letter. Basically, Trump is canceling the summit because of the tremendous anger and open hostility North Korea displayed recently to Pence and threatening to cancel the summit itself. Here's the background to all that. As Trump officials said they wanted North Korea to totally dismantle their nuclear capabilities, North Korea had appeared to waver about whether it was going to participate in the meeting with Trump. In response, Trump White House officials started comparing North Korea to Libya, a country that dismantled its nascent nuclear program. It's an ominous one for North Korea. That same leader ended up dead less than a decade later after a civil war in which the U.S. government, in which the U.S. got militarily involved. As North Korea escalated suggestions it might not participate in the summit, Trump officials doubled down. In a Fox News interview this week, Vice President Mike Pence said North Korea would, quote, end like the Libya model ended if Kim backed out of the meeting with Trump. Asked if he was threatening Kim, Pence said, quote, I think it's more of a fact. In response, North Korea's Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs said Pence's comments were, quote, stupid and ignorant, and called him a, quote, political dummy. Yes. Also this week, Trump threatened to back out of the summit if North Korea did not meet, quote, certain conditions. He didn't elaborate on what those conditions were. North Korea then issued a statement in response saying it's up to the United States to, quote, meet us at a meeting room or encounter us at nuclear to nuclear showdown. Now the summit is canceled, with Trump citing tremendous anger and open hostility on North Korea's part. Yeah, me thinks it works both ways. Anyway, back to this. North Korea has followed through on a pledge to blow up tunnels used for nuclear testing today. did it this morning as a part of steps that have reduced tension on the Korean Peninsula and did raise the possibility of a summit with the U.S. I already said this morning's breaking news, Pyongyang had issued a new threat to pull out of next month's summit with the U.S., citing the unbridled and impudent remarks of political dummy Mike Pence, who said North Korea might end like Libya.
North Korea is once again threatening to pull the plug on an upcoming summit between its leader, Kim Jong-un, and President Donald Trump. North Korea's vice foreign minister said Thursday that it's up to the U.S. to decide if it wants to avoid a nuclear showdown. She was responding to what she called ignorant and stupid comments Vice President Mike Pence made earlier this month to Fox News. Mm-hmm. In that interview, Pence doubled down on National Security Advisor John Bolton's analogy that North Korea could follow in the footsteps of Libya to ensure a completely verifiable denuclearization process. North Korea's previously cited Libya as the reason it needs nuclear weapons, since former Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi was toppled and killed by revolutionaries less than a decade after he gave up his nuclear program. Trump also recently cast doubt on the planned June 12th summit, saying there's a very substantial chance that it won't work out. He noted his team would know more next week after White House officials fly to Singapore to try and get the details ironed out with North Korea.
Unbelievable. Pence, Bolton, Trump, the whole lot of them. Unbelievable. Meanwhile, the White House gift shop is offering discounts on the commemorative coins for the North Korea summit. Go figure. Could be a good collector's item someday. Bowing to pressure over a decision to exclude Democrats from a highly anticipated Thursday briefing, the White House is now holding a separate meeting for bipartisan House and Senate leaders to receive classified information related to the Russia investigation. NBC News Hallie Jackson here on the news that broke last night at around 10 p.m. Eastern.
The meeting attendance has been notable for a number of reasons. First of all, because the original indication that we had received from our sources earlier in the day was that this Gang of Eight meeting that is set now for 2 o'clock Eastern was actually originally supposed to happen after the Memorial Day recess. I was on the phone with a senior administration official just before our evening broadcast who said, yeah, we think it's going to happen after Memorial Day. We're going to be planning for that, but the Nunes-Gowdy meeting is still going to go off as planned. Clearly, the situation has been incredibly fluid, which is also the guidance that we have been getting from folks that we've been talking to. John Kelly is going to be at both of these meetings.
What?
Let me tell you why that caught our attention, because Press Secretary Sarah Sanders was at the podium of the briefing room and said Kelly would not attend. She said at this point, he is not expected to be there. He was charged with putting this meeting together and setting up the logistics and then will step away. However, I am getting the impression that because of the backlash over on Capitol Hill, lawmakers on both sides of the aisle upset that the Gang of Eight was not included in this, wanting this to be more bipartisan. Even the president himself, remember on the South Lawn out there, I was asking him why weren't Democrats there, and he said, This supersedes party lines. This supersedes Republicans and Democrats. So clearly the pressure built in order to bring in Democrats to this meeting. So you have John Kelly now attending. You also have, remember, originally it was going to be Ed O'Callaghan, one of Rosenstein's deputies there at the Department of Justice, but now it will be Rod Rosenstein himself leading this briefing with these officials. So bottom line, over the last 8 to 10 hours, this has been a moving target, but It is clear now what is going to happen in a period of, 3-4 hours could be potentially significant.
Yeah, potentially significant. Now, the two meetings are being held back-to-back today. The first already ended. The second got underway, I believe, at around 2. The briefing is about the origins of the FBI's investigation into the Trump campaign and the FBI informant who had contact with several members of the campaign. The president has dubbed the controversy Spygate. We don't call it Spygate. Nobody else calls it Spygate. Just he calls it Spygate because he wants it to catch on. And of course, his minions will call it that, too. Law enforcement is furious that their source has been outed and say the use of an informant was standard procedure for a counterintelligence investigation. Now, a quick postscript on the meeting. Emmett Flood, Trump's attorney dealing with the Russia probe, in addition to John Kelly, also went to both meetings for at least part of the time, despite the White House saying this week that no White House officials would attend. Completely inappropriate for him to be there, even for a minute.
President Trump coining a new phrase for an old conspiracy theory.
We now call it Spygate. You're calling it Spygate.
No,
a lot of
you're
bad
calling
things have
it
happened.
Spygate.
It should be noted
you
that
moron.
Virtually no one is using that term.
Thank you.
The president. who's turned a false rumor into a full-blown conspiracy in short order.
Yep.
Leaving the White House for a trip to New York, the president would not answer our questions about so-called Spygate.
Sir, how can you call this Spygate? How can you call this Spygate, sir?
When asked directly for proof that his campaign was spied on, he said this.
All you have to do is look at the basics and you'll see. It looks like a very serious event, but we'll find out.
But the president isn't waiting to find out. He's sparking a storm of self-generated outrage on Twitter, firing off these assertions and accusations today, saying Spygate could be one of the biggest political scandals in history.
Oh, give me a break.
Before resorting to his classic witch hunt. That, of course, is how he refers to Special Counsel Robert Mueller's probe of Russian interference in the 2016 election.
No, we're not undercutting. We're cleaning everything up.
Oh, God.
This was a terrible situation.
Opposite world, everyone.
What I'm doing is a service to this country. And I did a great service to this country by firing James Comey.
History will offer the final
judgment. I'll tell you what you did to this country.
Firing Comey as FBI director led to the special counsel and the cloud of controversy hanging over the White House. He's repeatedly said this week his campaign was spied on, when in fact U.S. officials say a confidential intelligence source approached several members of his team who had already been in contact with suspected Russian agents.
I mean, if you look at Clapper, he sort of admitted that they had spies in the campaign.
No, he didn't.
Yesterday,
inadvertently. No, he didn't.
But I hope it's not true, but it looks like it is.
But that's not what James Clapper, director of national intelligence in the Obama administration, said Tuesday on
Thank
The
you.
View.
No, they were not. They were spying on a term I don't particularly like, but on what the Russians were doing, trying to understand, were the Russians infiltrating, trying to gain access, trying to gain leverage and influence?
So why doesn't he like...
Which is what they do.
The president has suggested the Obama administration was behind it, a claim he softened today.
I don't want to get into it yet, but I will tell you after we look at the proof, would he know? I would certainly hope not.
Oh, God, he just makes my skin crawl. Again, I'm hoping someone will press them as to why John Kelly and the president's lawyer dealing with the Russia probe, Emmett Flood, were in those meetings even for a moment. In other news, NFL owners agreed yesterday to a new national anthem policy. Teams will be fined if players kneel on the field or sidelines, though players will be allowed to stay in the locker rooms if they choose. MSNBC's Ari Melber with more.
The most profitable sports league, and thus corporate sports enterprise in the world, is now quite blatantly bowing to political pressure from Donald Trump, the kind of pressure that raises serious First Amendment concerns.
Yep.
The NFL today saying they will crack down on this issue of kneeling on the field during the national anthem, which many players have said they do to protest racism, police brutality, and what they call murders in the United States of black Americans. The new NFL policy says it will fine teams when players kneel. Now, it says it also gives players the choice of staying in the locker room, but this appears to essentially buckle to Donald Trump's big political talking point that all of this is not about what the players say they're doing, that is how they define their political speech, but rather Donald Trump's view of what he wants to require people do to respect the flag. Reading from the NFL policy, all team and league personnel in the field shall stand and, quote, show respect for the flag and the anthem. Of course, it was that same theme, a certain version of respect, one person telling another person how to show respect, that Donald Trump hit when he attacked players for kneeling.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right
no.
now, out, he's fired.
No.
The NFL, adding a kind of a spinning insult to what is very obviously going on, is now telling us, all of us, that this is some kind of middle ground.
We have been very sensitive in making sure that we give players choices, but we do believe that moment is an important moment and one that we are going to focus on.
Donald Trump weighed in on the new policy during an interview on Fox and Fiends.
The NFL has made a decision on something that means a lot to you and a lot of other Americans. The NFL has the owners have voted unanimously to approve a new national anthem rule that says if you're not going to stand, stay in the locker room. If you go to the field, you have to stand. If you have a protest, your team's going to get fined. This is the first time you're hearing this. What's your reaction, Mr. President?
Well, I think that's good. I don't think people should be staying in locker rooms, but still, I think it's good. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. Well, you shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe you shouldn't be in the country. You
shouldn't be in the country
for the national anthem. And the NFL owners
nonsense.
Did the right thing if that's what they've done.
If that is the story, do you feel like you push this story forward and you push this to a conclusion?
I think the people pushed it forward.
Oh,
this
give
was not
me a break.
I brought it out. I think the people pushed it forward. This country is very smart. We have very smart people. And you know, that's something
not
ideally
really.
Could have been taken care of when it first started. It would have been a lot easier. But if they did that, they're doing the right thing.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, I'll tell you who's doing the right thing. New York Jets chairman Christopher Johnson announced that he will pay all fines that players on his team receive for not standing during the national anthem following this new ruling. To make things even more awesome, Johnson is the brother of a Trump ambassador. Just saying. Author Stephen King was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert last night.
The last time I was here, I had a president who had just given me a National Medal of the Arts thing, which we argued over.
Yeah.
And now we've got a president who blocked me on Twitter. Except the court says he can't block anybody. So my question is, do I really want to follow that guy?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
You got the opportunity now. But so when did he block you?
He blocked me about 8 or 9 months ago. It's been a long time. It's hard
what
to
did
remember.
You do, Stephen King? What did you do to that good man that hurt his feelings so much that he felt the only way to defend himself was through your harsh
to block Stephen King?
Hurtful words. Was to block
well,
you on Twitter.
I might have said he had his head somewhere where a certain yoga position would be necessary to get it there. And that was it, man.
That was it. Well, he can't block you anymore. A federal district court judge yesterday ruled that Trump can't block people from viewing his Twitter feed over their political views, saying that the president's Twitter account is a public forum and blocking people who reply to his tweets with differing opinions constitutes viewpoint discrimination, which violates the First Amendment. All right. I've got more news we can go over, but we've got a phone call. Hi, who's this?
Jason from Simi Valley.
Hey, Jason from Simi Valley. What's on your mind today?
First off, you're going to have a good holiday weekend?
I certainly hope so.
Good. Well, let's get into the nightmare.
Okay.
Number one, the letter. Now, as several commentators have already pointed out, it has the ring of a 13-year-old breakup letter, the first draft.
Yes, it does.
It is just embarrassing beyond words. I mean, if you read it, you should just put a violin behind it. I mean, that's just abominable.
Yeah.
And then we come down to this whole security thing. But, you know, can I put a little different spin on it?
Sure.
There's an old saying, and Trump keeps finding this, be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now we have to take into account, okay, tell us all about this this informant. And what we're finding out so far is he's pretty Republican, and, you know, it was a counterintelligence operation.
Yes, he was doing his job. It wasn't a spy.
Exactly.
It was nobody embedded. He saw that there was some members of the campaign talking to Russian assets and you know, was doing his job to investigate.
Precisely. And then on top of that, we have, you know, you've got, they're going to try and turn it into this, I personally will not call it by the name they want to.
No.
I think there was an anagram of somebody said gay puppy or something or other. But whatever it is, I've got to say, I think also, I mean, I'm dead serious. Is he, I think this guy, quite candidly, I think beyond just his political machinations, and without saying it, I think he's got paranoia. I think this guy behind closed doors is panicking.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is not a person who feels like he's in control. Because if he fires anyone, Rosenstein, or whatever he does, it's going to blow up in his face. Because the problem he has, which no one really talks about, is Jeff Sessions, despite his innumerable flaws, I believe, in his own twisted way, believes in the Justice Department. I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it is. This is just keep going and going and going. And I will also give you some hope because I think it's Thursday, and you talked to the gentleman about who runs the political action committee,
right? Blue America.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, this last week I think was an extraordinarily good week because we have. Well, the Republicans are trying to do everything to appeal to their base, and they're trying to limit abortion rights and such. lots and lots of really good women are getting their shot.
Oh, yes.
And I believe in my heart, as a 57-year-old male, that if we have these women in office having to face this guy, we're going to be in a lot better shape. Now, I just feel right now that's where we put our energies in, getting these women elected. If we, and I, we need every Democrat, even some not-so-great ones, I grant you.
Mm-hmm.
But we just need more Ds, because if we get the House, we can put the brakes on to a great extent. If
absolutely.
By some remote chance we get the Senate, we're in good shape. But the point is, we need Democrats not only, even if they're not perfect, okay, we need
yeah,
Democratic
it's,
governors.
Know, and as I always say, Jason, during primary season, this is when we aspire
oh,
to
yeah.
the best progressives out there. Once you get to the general election, especially this year, especially with what we're facing, you need to just bite the bullet and vote party line.
Yeah, well, like, would I vote for Joe Manchin? Probably
yes,
because he's a Democrat and
yep.
he does vote with us. But I think what we have to look at now that we're getting close, now that we're going to be into the summer, we have to really just make the determination that these guys are make everything worse for themselves. Because I'm sorry, when you only care about that base, which I think that's all they care about, and they forget about the rest of us,
mm-hmm.
fine. And I also agree one other thing. I'm not sure if I heard it in your show or prior to it. Everybody who says, oh, we have to understand the Trump voter.
No.
We have to coddle them.
Wasn't
and
on this show.
my attitude is, I think at this point, and maybe it's just me, they're a lost cause.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to do this ourselves, and that's the end of it, because I am so sick of it, and if I see one more MAGA hat, I'm going to puke.
But
beyond that, I will leave your show now because I know you have to move on. But I really hope, Nicole, this weekend you can turn it off, relax, have a good weekend, and go out and go see Solo if you're a Star Wars fan.
Okay. Well, thank
right,
you, Jason.
Bye-bye.
Take care. It is Memorial Day weekend, so I hope you enjoy it. We don't do a show on Mondays anyway, so it's business as usual for us here. Speaking of women running for office, you know, Cynthia Nixon was on, I think she was on with, God, who was she on with? Was she on with... I forget who she was on with, but you know how we always have Howie Klein on. He'll be coming in a few minutes and talking about, you know, the DCCC and how they're actively working against progressives. Cynthia Nixon, who is running in New York for governor against Andrew Cuomo, who is a centrist, and I'm being generous there. She's a progressive. She's saying, she made a really good point here, that you got to give people something to vote for.
It's really important for us in 2018 to elect more Democrats, but I think it's equally important to elect better Democrats. I think what we saw in the last presidential election was we can't just give people something to vote against. We really
yep.
have to actively give people something to vote for. And this is where, in New York State, certainly our voters, our constituents are ahead of their leaders, and they know the progressive leadership that's been missing here and all the things that are being enacted in other parts of the country that aren't being enacted here. And we have to really give our Democratic base, our young people, our women of color, our working class, we have to start showing up for them, because
yes,
if we don't start showing up for them, they're going to stop showing up for us. And it is candidacies like mine that I think really get our base excited and give them faith again in the Democratic Party, that it's not becoming just more and more like the Republican Party, but that the Democratic Party actually stands for Democratic Party values.
Absolutely. Back to the phones. I see my husband David is calling in. Hello.
Hi, this scandal, and I'm using air quotes when I say scandal, this scandal should be called Y-gate, as in, why in the fuck is it happening, because there is no there.
Which one are you talking about? The so-called Spygate that isn't...
Exactly.
We now call it
Spygate.
Yeah.
It should be Y-gate.
Yep. Okay. Was that all
Bye.
You wanted
Love
to
you,
say?
Madly.
Goodbye. Thank you for your call. All right. It is Thursday, so in just a moment, we will talk with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com and the Blue America PAC. It was a big primary day on Tuesday. There was some good news, some not so good news, some, all right, we'll take it news. We'll go through all of that and talk about the concept of unity in the DCCC. when we returned. Don't go away. I'm Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal, and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal, and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
In addition to DownWithTyranny.com, Howie Klein is the co-founder of the Blue America PAC, who works very hard to identify and raise money for and promote progressive candidates to run, mostly for Congress, but a few other offices as well. Howie, are you there? You know, I thought that was the case because I tried calling and it took longer than usual for him to pick up, and Howie's not there. Let's try calling again and see if he picks up. Come on, Howie, where are you? Well, we'll see. Hopefully he'll pick up this time. One ringy dingy. Calling Howie Klein. Calling Howie Klein. This happens every once in a while with Howie. I think he gets busy on another call and forgets we're here.
Hello.
Uh-oh. We are not. All right. Well, Howie's not there. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll try to raise him. In the meantime, I'll leave you in the very capable hands of Desi Doyen and Brad Friedman in the Green News Report.
It's Thursday, May 24, 2018.
This is an agency that cries out for accountability coverage right now. We need to know what the heck is going on.
EPA blocks mainstream news outlets from water contamination summit. Texas chemical plant explodes days after EPA rescinds safety rules. Shutting down coal plants delivers immediate benefits for pregnant women and their babies. Plus,
the National Park Service tried to remove mentions that climate change is caused by people.
National Park Service study on climate change is released, uncensored.
What are the odds? All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
So here's part of what CNN said today in a statement. The EPA selectively excluded CNN and other media outlets. We understand the importance of an open and free press, and we hope the EPA does too.
Keep hoping. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, a couple of stories that we are tracking here. Lava from Hawaii's Kilauea volcano is now edging closer to a geothermal plant?
Yes, that geothermal plant generates electricity from the Earth's heat, and it provides about a quarter of the Big Island's electricity. Plant officials say they've now taken all precautions that they know to take. However, on the bright side, at least we're not talking about a nuclear power plant.
Well, there's that. Another story we're also watching, another orange flow, if you will, is now being watched in Wisconsin, where 10 million gallons of sludge from a fracking settling pond was released after a worker got trapped in the pond. The sludge has turned the nearby Trempealeau River orange. That sludge has now reached the Mississippi, and the fracking water is laced with chemicals, apparently. Officials are now trying to determine the full extent of the damage and the danger to humans, to plants, to wildlife in the river. I'm sure Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker will be straightforward with us on that. Just another great byproduct of fossil fuels, Des.
Yep.
Well, with that good news, what else do you have for us today?
Well, in Washington, the Trump Environmental Protection Agency got even more Orwellian this week when agency security blocked reporters from some major news outlets like AP and CNN from attending a two-day public summit on water contamination at EPA headquarters. Agency officials claimed there wasn't enough room to accommodate those journalists, despite reports and photos of empty seats inside the meeting. Also excluded were city officials from Flint, Michigan, and the independent scientists who studied the chemicals' impact on human health. According to Politico, the EPA's lockout of the press may violate public meeting access requirements under the Federal Advisory Committee Act.
This is incredibly chilling. People need to pay attention to what this administration is doing when it comes to a free press in this country.
The shutout of some of those media outlets from that water contamination summit comes on the heels of revelations that the Trump administration is blocking the release of a federal study showing the dangerous toxic chemicals found in water supplies across the country are far more harmful at far lower levels than previously known. The emails showed the White House and EPA withheld that water study because they feared it would be, quote, a public relations nightmare. That study remains unreleased. Meanwhile, the U.S. Chemical Safety Board is investigating yet another chemical plant explosion, this one near Houston, Texas, on Monday that was caused by a pressure safety valve failure. It sparked a chemical fire at the Cura Ray America Incorporated plant. It injured 21 workers, some quite seriously. That latest explosion comes just days after EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt moved to formally rescind chemical safety regulations that were put in place by the Obama administration after the deadly West Texas fertilizer plant explosion that killed 15 people in 2013. In a statement, Pruitt claimed that, quote, accident prevention is a top priority at EPA, but he said that repeal would save the chemical industry over $88 million a year. West's mayor, however, told the Austin American-Statesman, quote, with all due respect to Scott Pruitt, he's never lost 15 firefighter friends. But some good news, a National Park Service study showing how rising sea levels will impact national parks has been allowed to see the light of day uncensored. The Park Service came under intense scrutiny after news reports revealed that all mentions of climate change had been deleted from draft versions. The climate data has now been restored to the final publication. But it came at great cost to University of Colorado scientist Maria Caffrey, who worked on the report for 5 years and fought those changes. She said, quote, the fight probably destroyed my career with the Park Service, but it will be worth it if we can hold up the truth and ensure scientific integrity. Finally, some very good news. A new study on air pollution has found that shutting down fossil fuel power plants delivers almost immediate benefits for pregnant mothers and their babies. The study found that within a year after the shutdown of 8 coal and oil-fired power plants in California, rates of premature birth dropped significantly among pregnant mothers living near those plants. Shutting down power plants that burn fossil fuels almost immediately reduces the risk of preterm birth, which is linked to lifelong health complications.
For much more on all of those reports and the ones we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
And breathe, just breathe. Oh.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener-supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you.
Well, I'm in a bit of a quandary. Nicole Sandler back with you here at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. Howie Klein's usually with us on Thursdays. However, I am unable to locate him today. I don't know why. We communicated this morning about what we were going to talk about, but he is not answering his phone. So that leaves our phone lines open. at 954-889-6410, or you can Skype in at Nicole Sandler. There's no shortage of things to talk about, from this asinine new ruling in the NFL to this ridiculousness that Trump now calls Spygate.
We now call it Spygate. You're calling it Spygate. A lot of bad things have happened.
No, you're calling it Spygate. You're the only one calling it Spygate. Feel free to weigh in on any of that stuff. In the meantime, I do have more sound to play for you. Donald Trump, sorry to do this to you, did an interview with Fox and Fiends. Well, just one of them. I guess one of the guys, I don't know their names. I'm sorry. I don't ever watch them. Went to the thing on Long Island yesterday. That was about MS-13. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's just first go to the phones. The 205 area code. Hi, who's this?
This is Proud Scal.
Hey, Proud Scal. How are you doing?
I am excited by Stacey Abrams winning in Georgia.
That was a big deal.
I think a lot of liberals and blacks in this area are going to funnel a lot of money into her campaign.
Well, I hope so. You know what? She's so impressive. I mean, I've heard her interviewed a number of times. I've seen her on a few shows, and she's great. She's smart, articulate. She seems like the real deal, and she's making history.
Yes, she is. Unfortunately, we have another problem here. We have our elections in Alabama and Georgia, the Republican primary races, and unfortunately, we are bombarded with Republican candidates with ads about Confederate monuments, guns, and cracking down on immigrants. And this is floating down to offices, even like county commissioner. It's really being absurd.
Yeah, I think Trump has given a license to racists and bigots and haters to wear their colors proudly. I noticed in the Republican side of the gubernatorial primary, the guy with the deportation bus, thankfully he's out of the race, but there's a runoff for the Republicans coming, I think, in July, and one of the guys in the runoff had a very racist ad, how he's got a pickup that he'll drive around to load the illegals on and deport them himself. I mean, a really hateful, horrible ad that he ran, and he's in the runoff for the Republican nomination.
I know. It's just disgusting. By the way, the guy with the deportation bus, his bus broke down, and he got stuck for 6 hours in a small Georgia town.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Have a great day.
Thank you so much. You too. All right. So, as I was saying, phone lines are open, 954-889-6410, or you can Skype in to Nicole Sandler. In the meantime, thank you, chat room. Trumantown lets me know it was Brian Kilmeade, the stupid one of Fox and Fiends, who went out to the Long Island event that Trump did yesterday before his fundraiser in the city. That was ostensibly about MS-13 gang members. Problem is, he conflates all immigrants. So he's talking about the gang members, but he talks about them as if they're all immigrants. Anyway, so here's Dump on with on Fox and Fiends this morning with Brian Kilmeade talking about immigration.
There's some legislation moving through so-called moderates in the House to get DACA back out there, get immigration going. It's not coming from leadership. Have you, Mr. President, been watching this shape?
I have.
Let me interrupt for a second, because there is this, I forget what it's called, a discharge petition where some moderates on the right
and Democrats are pushing to get a bill on DACA. And Trump keeps blaming the Democrats for DACA being dead. Meanwhile, Trump's the one who killed it. And second, when you hear what he has to say here, you'll realize why DACA is dead, and it's because Dump is killing it.
Where do you stand? You actually have four different bills. Unless it includes a wall, and I mean a wall, a real wall, and unless it includes very strong border security, there'll be no approvals for me because I have to either approve it or not. There are bills going through. I'm watching one or two of them. We'll see what happens. But
we'll see what happens.
I can tell you there is a mood right now to get very strong border security. When you see a scene like this where these incredible parents have lost their sons and daughters, it's very hard not to do that.
Would you do something short term without lottery involved and without chain migration and go back later?
Well, lottery is ridiculous, as you know. I mean, they take people from a lottery. Well, you can imagine these countries are not putting their finest in that lottery. So right. I don't like lottery.
The countries don't
chain
put migration the people in the lottery.
You look at what's going on where somebody comes in who's bad, and yet they'll have 24 members
That's
of a
bullshit.
Family.
That's from a lie.
Not one of them.
It is a
do
lie. Flat out lie.
In this country. So chain migration is terrible. Lottery is terrible. We certainly would like to have it in. We have to get rid of catch and release. You catch them.
Right.
Even if you know they're a criminal, you catch
Not true.
Them. You have to release them.
Not
by
true.
Law, you have to release
Not
them.
Not true.
And then they go into society and they don't come back to the trial.
Even if you know they're a criminal? Not
Brian,
true.
We have the worst immigration laws in the entire world by far. Other countries laugh at us, and it's because of the Democrats. It's because of Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, if a deal God. Doesn't include those two things but has the wall and a DACA, is Donald Trump do that deal?
I think it's time to get the whole package. It's okay. not such a big deal, Brent. It's time to get the whole package.
The whole package, meaning everything he wants. So what about negotiations? I thought he's the great negotiator. That's a lie, too. Actually, he got called out yesterday. Trump got called out by Jeff Flake. Now, I've got my problems with Jeff Flake. Jeff Flake is not running for re-election because he knows he can't win. So he's taking his toys and going home. Jeff Flake, the junior senator from Arizona, who has been critical of Trump. Yes, he's been critical of Trump in a book and in speeches. But when it comes to voting, he's been voting with him. So he's just the biggest hypocrite. Well, this week, Jeff Flake spoke at the Harvard Law School commencement exercises, and he went after Trump again.
Our presidency has been debased by a figure who seemingly has a bottomless appetite for destruction and division and only a passing familiarity with how the Constitution works. And our Article I branch of government, the Congress, that's me, is utterly supine in the face of the moral vandalism that flows from the White House daily. I do not think that the founders could have anticipated that the beauty of their invention might someday founder on the rocks of reality television, and that Congress would be such willing accomplices to this calamity. Rule of thumb. If the only acceptable outcome in a matter of law or justice is a result that is satisfactory to the leader, then you might be living in a democracy that is in trouble. If the leader attacks the legitimacy of any institution that does not pay him obeisance, say the independent judiciary or the free press, you might live in a democracy that is in trouble. Further to that point, when a figure in power reflexively calls any press that does not suit him fake news, it is that person who should be the figure of suspicion, not the press.
So a few things. He went on. There was more. I couldn't find it online this morning. Good on him for calling out Trump for some of his, issues. He could have gone a lot further. But he didn't. He doesn't get a pass from me for speaking out when he doesn't you know, put his money where his mouth is, so to speak, when he doesn't, you know, stand up for what he believes in. He should stay in the race, give it everything he's got, and run against this guy, unless he plans to primary Trump in 2020. But he could do that anyway, even if he ran for reelection. But it doesn't give him an excuse. He voted to kill the Affordable Care Act. He's voted with Trump on virtually everything. I can't think, and I could be wrong here because I don't have his voting record in front of me. But I don't see him following through and voting against the things that Trump is trying to get passed. He voted for that tax scam. He voted for, you know, all kinds of shit stuff. You know, David, my husband, called in and said he should call it. What did he say? We should call it something else gate. Jake Tapper had a great monologue yesterday because of the way Trump lies all the time. He has another name for Spygate.
President Trump pushing a brand new conspiracy theory, one seemingly grounded more in suspicions and his desire for a counter-narrative than it is based on established facts. Tweeting in one of his five tweets today on the subject of this confidential FBI source who spoke with at least three Trump campaign members in 2016, quote, Spygate could be one of the biggest political scandals in history. And this afternoon, the president went on to say this.
What proof do you have that your campaign was spied on?
All you have to do is look at the basics and you'll see. It looks like a very serious event.
Well, we have looked at the basics. What we know is this. The FBI conducting a counterintelligence investigation in 2016 into whether Russians were trying to influence the election or just what they were up to, sent a confidential FBI source to speak with members of the Trump campaign. U.S. officials tell CNN that that source was not planted within the campaign. He wasn't a campaign staffer, as far as we know. There's obviously a lot we don't know, but there's no evidence as of now that this was done for political purposes, as the president is alleging. We're told that the FBI was trying to figure out just what the Russians were up to and whether they were getting help from any Americans. Now, while we await the investigation into this matter by journalists and by the Justice Department Inspector General, it's worth remembering that while we're sticking to the facts and telling you just what we know, President Trump apparently has no such constraints, since he simply makes stuff up. He frequently lies and has a long and well-documented career engaging in conspiracy theories about all manner of subjects, with no concrete evidence ever provided. We should get to the bottom of the FBI's counterintelligence investigation into Russian election interference and whether anything was done improperly by law enforcement, as well as those who are guilty of whatever they might be guilty of. The FBI is certainly not above criticism, and without question, there needs to be a healthy and robust oversight of the intelligence agencies. But that's not what the president is pushing for here. He's focused on propelling a counter-narrative to try to undermine the special counsel investigation. It's a fable in which he is the victim, and law enforcement officials are the bad guys. The president frequently seeks to undermine those who look to undercover uncomfortable facts about him. This week, for example, 60 Minutes correspondent Leslie Stahl revealed that then-candidate Donald Trump told her during an off-camera conversation she had with him in the summer of 2016. Stahl says she asked Donald Trump why he continues to attack the press, and according to her, this was his response.
He said, you know why I do it? I do it to discredit you all and demean you all, so when you write negative stories about me, no one will believe you.
Chilling, really. And yet, wholly unsurprising, and the president is now doing the same thing with Special Counsel Robert Mueller and the Justice Department and the FBI. And as this new counter-narrative is being born, one that is being repeated already by the president's obedient supporters on the Hill and his vassals in conservative media, we here will continue digging for the truth despite this bombardment of falsehoods.
Lies. Falsehoods are actually lies. Yes, you can call it Liegate. It's not Spygate. It's made up shit. It's Liegate. My husband's back on the line again. Hello, David.
Hi.
Hi.
So I was compelled to call back in because, first of all, you know, there's a lot of stuff hitting the fan in regard to the NFL, which I would like to take note of the fact that in my 43 years of experience in professional sports, The NFL Players Union has the weakest union of all the major sports.
Mm-hmm.
Without any question, hands down, they have done the poorest job of representing their membership. Now, with that said, what can you expect to happen with weak union leadership? Well, you can expect the union leadership to do next to nothing. The people that have been standing up are the actual players themselves. And when this first started, there was contact between a group of players, some of whom were in union leadership, who coordinated between teams the effort to try and maintain the unity that was necessary in order to put a good team on the field, and still allow the people who wanted to express their opinion in whatever form that should take to do so.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think will continue to happen. I applaud the owner of Johnson of the Jets. I really think that if they wanted to, if the owners wanted to do something to please Cadet Bone Spurs in terms of honoring the red, white, and blue, it would be the red, white, and blue of the Russian flag as opposed to the red, white, and blue of the American flag. And going forward, this is going to be driven by money, as always it is. And the TV contracts are signed, sealed, and delivered. That money's not going to diminish by so much as a penny. For the most part, the season ticket sales that have taken place have already taken place. So the only place that this might have any appreciable influence, if you will, is if the single game ticket sales and merchandise sales are so dramatically affected that whatever the people involved on the player side do causes a significant decrease in whatever revenue that would have otherwise created. Now, the people that have kept this going have not been the players. If no one would have said anything about this, if they just would have allowed the one or two or three players per team that were interested enough and motivated enough to take a knee during the anthem to do so, this would have blown over months and months mm-hmm. and months ago.
Right.
But as everything he does, Cadet Bone Spurs has used this to distract from, as you just called it, Liegate, because he doesn't want his sycophantic, knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing followers to stop fucking their cousins and pay attention to what's actually going on in his, and I'm using air quotes, administration, because if they do, they'll realize they're paying higher prices for gas, their individual rights are being eroded, their children are likely to have to continue fighting these endless wars that supposedly we were going to be disengaging from because he was going to do such a great job of foreign policy. With that, let me segue, if you don't mind, a bit to foreign policy.
Okay.
Anyone who has not even half a brain, a third of a brain, and who sits down to negotiate a business deal knows the first thing you do is you talk about the things that you can agree to. I agree from my perspective that I know you want this and you can have that. And you agree that you know I want this and I can have that. That's how you start things off. You don't go into a negotiation and say, I know the number one thing on your list that you want, and I'm telling you right now, there is no way that you're going to get it.
Right.
And that's exactly what they did here.
Mm-hmm.
So how much of a surprise can it be that this is the end result? I really think they knew this, I don't know how many days ago. I knew they knew this was going to blow up, and they sat on this till today when, you know, little Cadet Bone Spurs went in his corner and pouted and threatened to hold his breath until he turned blue unless Rod Rosenstein gave him an investigation of the investigators.
Right.
And now all of this shit was hitting the fan while these people, including Trump's lawyer and chief of staff, were looking at evidence that they had no business looking at.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Everything about this so-called administration is a shit show, and we're unfortunately along for the ride. We got no choice.
Well, they would have to improve exponentially to reach shit show status.
I guess so. Okay, David, thank you for calling in and for your 10 cents worth. I appreciate it.
Well, you know me. I'm never hesitant to offer my opinion.
I know, and I thank you for it. It's one of the reasons I love you. My husband, David,
and
everybody.
I love you, too.
I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Love you, madly.
All right. Well, tomorrow on the show, hopefully Jason Leopold will be here. He's out with the flu, but I told him to have chicken soup so we can talk tomorrow. Thanks for listening. I'll see you then.